There is a scene in the classic highbrow movie Talladega Nights when race car driver Ricky Bobby, played by Will Ferrell, says grace at the dinner table and prays, "Dear tiny baby Jesus." Someone interrupts and reminds Ricky Bobby that Jesus grew up. But Ricky says he likes the Christmas Jesus best and continues his prayer. "Dear 8 pounds, 6 ounce newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly in your golden fleece diapers." It's a pretty funny scene, and I was reminded of it when I read today's gospel. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" Ricky Bobby prefers the comfortable, small, handheld Jesus he can understand. Grown-up Jesus can be quite off-putting. But it is grown-up Jesus who asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus is not really the only one that asks us that question. We answer that question all day long in our interactions. "Who do you say that I am?" is the unspoken but clearly heard question we hear asked by those we work for or who work for us. The question asked by teachers, judges, political candidates, police officers, doctors, as well as the man on the street corner holding a sign, the child who cannot read, and the ex-prisoner who needs a job. "Who am I to you? Do I matter?" Yesterday, last night, there was a wedding here, and the same question is asked and answered at weddings. "Who do you say that I am?" At a wedding, the bride and groom look each other in the eye and essentially say, "You are the person I trust in this world who will be the most interested, the most invested, and most delighted to help my light shine, to love and forgive me, and to honor me for the rest of my life." Jesus' question cuts to the chase, and it really is the central question that, like wedding vows, determines who we trust, what we value, how we live. This question is also something of a pun. "Who do you say that I am?" You may recall that when Moses asked God what his name was, God replied, "I am who I am," which is pronounced Yahweh in Hebrew. "I am" is God's name. In John's gospel, Jesus answers his own question with poetic metaphor and playing on the same pun. "I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd, the door, the vine. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the resurrection and life." Jesus, typically humble and self-effacing, makes bold and audacious claims. "Who do you say?" Jesus is. "A great teacher? A good example? A nice guy who lived a long time ago and is not relevant anymore? Or is Jesus totally trending and someone we can trust to guide and care for us?" You're likely here today because you or someone you care about thinks Jesus is worth listening to. Jesus' message contradicts most of the other messages we receive. The push to gain power and prestige and to amass possessions are usually touted as the path to happiness and freedom. Jesus leads a totally different way. Paul says in the reading from Romans today, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," which I saw that yesterday Oprah posted on Instagram that is her favorite Bible passage. Jesus says that the path to freedom and joy and meaning is found through love, but it is the sort of love that inevitably includes suffering and sacrifice. Not the stuff that sells on Madison Avenue or Wall Street. It is a love that invariably includes loss, whether it is because we forgive, grieve, or give up something that matters to us for a person or a principle that matters more. Jesus claims that sacrifice, born originating from love, or born carried for love, is the most meaningful and joy-producing work of our lives. Yet, over 40% of marriages end in divorce. But you know how the rest of them end, don't you? In death. No one comes out of it unscathed. Yet, we celebrate and rejoice when another couple takes vows of marriage because we trust, or we want to trust, that marriage will be life-giving for the couple and somehow also make the world a little better place, too. Marriage is a risky venture, and so is following the map that Jesus puts before us. We are asked to do what makes little sense, to lead by serving, to believe anyone can be redeemed, to hope in possibilities unseen, to believe that life, not death, has the last word, to create communities in which compassion and opportunity are flourish for all, to forgive those who hurt us, to trust that no title or possession will give us the fulfillment that sacrificial loving brings forth in us and around us. A teenager had never seen his father cry, and he asked his dad, "Have you ever cried in front of me before?" "Once," the father replied. "When you could not yet walk, crawling, out of curiosity and for something to do, I did a little experiment that I heard was a tradition in our family. I put three objects in front of you, a dollar, a pin, and a toy. It was supposed to show me what you would value when you grow up. The dollar represented fortune and money. The pin was for intelligence and education. And the toy stood for fun and entertainment. I laid them out on the floor to see which one you would choose. I sat across from you and the objects lay between us. You sat for a while, looking, and then as you moved, I found myself holding my breath, waiting to see what you would do. You crawled forward and pushed everything aside and climbed into my lap. I had not realized that I was one of the choices." The father thought the game would tell him who his boy was. Instead, it told him who he was. When Peter declares Jesus as the Messiah, I think he is able to do so because of how he has seen himself in Jesus' eyes. It was experiencing the trust and love and esteem Jesus had for him that opened his eyes to see who Jesus was. The only way anyone can be motivated, inspired, brave, or crazy enough to trust that Jesus is the light, the bread, the way, the truth, is by realizing who we are to God, our worth and value in God's eyes, how God chooses us every single time. And we are not just given a treasure map to find our way on our own. We believe the author of the map is alive and present and accompanies us on our way, empowering us to love and give of ourselves. Gathering with others who cling to the same map and answering Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" is our task here today. You know, Jesus never asked us to worship him. Never asked us to worship him. He said, "Follow me." We want to trust that his ways bring more life than the ways of the world. We know we will suffer, but we will also soar. Amen.